Listen. Think. Learn. Grow. Listen. Think. Learn. Grow. Live. Live. Live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening. Welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, July 28th. My name is Michael Kelly, and I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening, Michael. Glad to be here. You know, this is the last Wednesday of July.
It is.
It is. It is.
We're going to be into month 8 of 2021.
Yes. We are.
Yeah, it's an existential shock to me. I hope it is for you, too. Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs that can be found at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. Now, we're going to begin tonight with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief. And those are, 1, do no harm, do right. 2, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4, we are all equal. One planet, one race, one ancestry, and one destiny. 5. We recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6. We are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will creates self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. All right, on to tonight's topic. Can psychics locate missing persons? And of course, we're going to talk about, you know, a lot of topics related to this as well. So welcome to those joining us live. Always appreciate having you in chat. And thank you to those listening to the archives, too. And Dr. Hunter, I think you had a couple of stories last week that you were alluding to that you were referring to this kind of type of psychic ability.
Well, you know, honestly, to start with, can psychics locate missing persons? That it implies a yes or no answer when there really isn't.
So sometimes.
It's kind of both, but it's neither. So that's how we have to kind of start this program. You know, here's why I brought it up last week is because I had been asked by one of the students actually through the school if I would assist in a particular endeavor, and I decline these things, but with a disclaimer that if somebody gives me a name and information and I leave it sit with me, it's not something that necessarily comes out. If I get some kind of message, I will. Like whether it's through a dream or something pops in my head. However, I carefully decline that kind of work. And I have a number of reasons for that, but mostly it's selfish. It's really hard work to do. 'Cause you're not dealing with about locating somebody who's missing. You're dealing with all the people who are searching. Mm-hmm. And that is a skill unto itself, patience and tolerance and sensitivity, and you've got to have a very thick skin and very clear, very neutral, and it can be tough. So the question is, can people find missing people, missing animals? Absolutely. In my experience, absolutely yes. The difficulty is that there's no guarantee, and again, in my experience, information comes in snips of information. It's not a real clear, accurate picture. Oh, yeah, this is what happened. It comes more randomly, like I call them Kodak moments. And it's like a puzzle that you have to kind of put together. And sometimes that it can feel complicated. I had a friend who lost her dog a couple of years ago, and she said, she wrote to me, I know her very well and where she lives, and she said, please, looking for my dog. If she's dead, I accept that, but can you please let me mm-hmm. know how she's doing? And because I have such a strong connection with her, I could immediately tune in. My way of doing this is to go to the spirit world to see if the dog is in the spirit world. And I didn't feel or see the dog in the spirit world. So again, asking my higher self, my spirits, whatever, I said, well, I don't think the dog is dead. I think she's lost. And I think she'll come back. So I wrote to my friend and I explained this to her. I said, I really believe you'll see her again, just the patience. And it took about 2 months, but somebody returned her dog. Now, I'm just always glad for that outcome.
Yeah, glad that that story has a happy ending.
Yeah, and I'm glad that it's an affirmation to me that those senses that I had are good, but that's not always the case. So I can't buy into my own trip. And that's what you have to be so careful about. You can be right 9 times. That one time you're not right is painful, and it kind of negates all the right times. So, and that's my experience. I can't speak for everybody. I'm just speaking for myself and what I have known of other, intuitives. And it's just no guarantee. I'm always interested in local stuff and what's going on. I went to a local talk about 4 years ago, a fellow who does spiritual readings with deceased people, and he often finds missing people. I found him interesting because he does it in a very different way from myself. He doesn't necessarily do psychometry to hold objects. He doesn't, a lot of typical ways that some psychics might do it. Give me a picture, give me an item, give me information, and I'll follow that. He kind of calls out and has his own meditation, and dead people just come and talk to him. And kind of give him directions. Now, how often is he accurate? I couldn't tell you, and I don't think he wants to tell anybody, because that might be 1 out of 10 times.
Yeah.
So I'm careful when I'm listening to these success stories and people giving talks, because I know that there's always more to it. So I think that anybody who's intuitive kind of connects. It's like finding that frequency. It's no different than doing an intuitive reading. Or, Michael, in some small way, when we pull cards at the end of the night, it's that feeling that I get, with whatever symbol is there. That's a conduit. And I think that's kind of where to start. And it is absolutely possible, but so much of the information is fragmented and there's so many interruptions that sometimes psychics try too hard. Now, there was a very famous case a few years ago. I'm not going to get into who it was and all that. Very successful reader finding missing people, and she was wrong that one time. And it just blew her career. And, of course, gave every other reader, and every other psychic, a bad name. And that's unfortunate, but she got carried away with herself, in my mind. Again, I'm very careful. This is my opinion. When you start buying into your own stuff that you're always accurate, you're going to make a mistake. And there's always that kind of energy can get mixed up. I could be tuning in to find Alice, but then I end up finding Ruth. Mm-hmm. But then what about Alice? Because that's all anybody wanted to know about.
Nobody cares about Ruth.
So my late mentor, Magda, she worked with the police a fair bit. And again, we're talking back in the 60s and the 1970s. And I had a case back in 1976. I was for a little bit living on the West Coast. And a woman came to me asking if I would help find her brother, who had been on a boat, a yacht, with other couples. And there was a storm and it went missing. And of course, I'm young and I'm fairly eager, and I was getting these messages like really clear. And she took me to the, what do you call those, police, those water police people. Can't think of it off the top. Anyway, what do you call them, Michael? People who work on the.
I think. People who work on the water?
Yeah, those. Anyway.
Fishermen, merchant shippers.
Yeah, well, there's these police in particular that she took me to them. And I told them that there were three islands. And they got way off course and they smashed into one of these islands. There's rock on one side, beach, a very small beach on the other. Three of them had survived, but it was running out of time. And they were clear to say to me, there are no three islands out there. And I said, and I drew a picture of exactly what it was in my mind, because like an aerial view. And of course I was, you know, no, it's not there. So a week later, she called me and she had gotten a call from them to say, we found those three islands, because they weren't mapped. So of course I go back down there. And they did go check it out, but there was nothing left, because I said, I think they're all dead now. At Coast Guard. Thanks, Ronnie.
Yeah, I'd actually alluded to Coast Guard earlier as well. I don't think you heard me.
But. I know, like, slap my face here. So by the time they found these islands, there was no sign of debris, and it was all gone. But that, it really is very wearing experience. It's trying to convince people what you see in your mind. They're telling you you're wrong, so right away you're deflated. I'm feeling badly for this woman. She's devastated, obviously. When they later tell me, oh yeah, here's three islands that weren't mapped, you know, because they sent out the helicopters. Wow. And it's good to know in a way that I was right, but it's all the layers of emotion and the psychologies that go on, and people who don't believe in you, who are testing you and playing devil's advocate. I just want to do a job and help these people. Mm-hmm. You see? So I decided at that moment, and after having talks with Magda around that time when she was still alive, and I said, that work is not for me. I've had people since come to me, and in the most desperate of ways, looking for someone. And if I get little bits of information, I'll share it. But I said, that's all I know, and I can't help you. You know, you have to go to somebody else. And there are times when I have driven down back roads, or because I live in the mountains, mountain ways, and I can feel that I know there's a dead body out there. Mm. I just, whoa, that's a feeling. I can't really describe it, but, oof, you know.
Well, is it the sense of a new, well, how do I put this, soul that's departed, that's not bound to an earthly body anymore? Is that the sense, do you think? Or is it just the aura of life having passed from one plane to another?
I think that's both, Michael. Yeah. I think that in one case it's a residual. In other cases where I've actually felt an entity stuck, and I know I've had a couple of people say to me, well, do you want to stop and go find it? And I, oh, no, because that means, and here's the risk, that means we report it. Mm-hmm. That means being interviewed.
Nobody wants.
That means being a suspect.
Nobody wants to be the intro to a Law and Order episode.
No, it's not that I don't have compassion for people, but the whole prospect for me terrifies me. Now, a lot of movies have been made, you know, television series of psychics, again, who do this work, who can do this work, documented, and I find it fascinating, and I kudos to those who can do that work. I just find them, there's a certain strength and a fortitude, but I also know the risk they're taking, and I'm sure they've had those experiences of, you know, not succeeding. I don't want to say failing, because I don't think anything's a failure, but of not succeeding in a way that would get results that people want, and like the emotional toll that that takes. So again, we might only hear of one or two out of ten that were a success, mm-hmm. and we think that's great, but I know well how many others
well,
are.
It's great for those two that are found. It is impactful to them.
I agree.
So, you know, it may have changed someone's life for the better, and how can you argue against that? I'm very curious about the entire affair. I think of human consciousness, and I do think it's possible, completely unproven at this point, at least by, you know, measurable means in terms of gadgets and technology. But I do believe that there is a potential network of human consciousness, and in the same way that, you know, like, for example, these new little devices, Apple AirTags, they use the same network of cell phones and just data centers that you used for Lost My iPhone or any device that would be similar, and you can locate different objects. People put them on pet collars to, Wendy, we were talking about hanging on to pets, and, you know, GPS collars help, definitely, and this is kind of along that line. So we track these objects by they connect to the network, and we can relay their location and information about it through that network. And might this be something very similar through the network of human consciousness?
Well, the one thing I can say when it comes to finding, you know, Grandpa's will, I can find that. When it comes to, Vicky, I lost these really important papers, can you help me out? I can usually find that.
Well, where were you yesterday when I lost my car keys and it took me an hour?
See, well, yeah, with exception. It's because there's no emotional tie to it in a way. I can detach from those things. It's very difficult to detach with people's emotions that, you know, kind of cloud things. The last time I helped to find anybody was a horse that was stolen. And for all the things that they did get the horse back, which I believe they would. But how I saw it happening, again, was in these Kodak snips. And I'd say about 75% of the information I gave was accurate. I have to be careful being a little bit dyslexic. When I think it's going north, it's actually going south. You know, well, so I know my own processing and how I can have those errors.
Well, let me wildly speculate, too, for funsies. But what about the fact that, okay, let's say that we do connect to some kind, well, people that are sensitive connect to some type of network to the wider consciousness or network of consciousness. And let's also assume, for the sake of this wild speculation, that the multiverse theory is actually correct, too. So if you're connecting to the network, do the networks between multiverses connect? Do you see potential realities that may not be accurate because that's not how it actually shaped out? Because of the innumerable, infinite variables that we go through every day that shape our world. So, a little bit of, you know, fun speculation, but I think that, you know, I think that a lot of times readings are, and you've said this before, Dr. Hunter, readings are often potential futures, potential outcomes that may not always come to pass, but they're, you know, the future is always being written in real time. There are things that can change it, you know, very easily.
And I'm not meaning this to be a cop-out for myself, but there's more variables now than there was 40 or 50 years ago when I started 50 years ago doing readings. There was more of a clearer pathway, and I've talked to other psychics who've had the same experience. So if you imagine that we're living in an area where there's just 1,000 people, and, you know, that air is pretty clear. Now you have, in that same density, that same geographical region, you now have 100,000 people. The variables are greater. We now have almost 8 billion people on the planet psychically bumping into each other all the time. So variables change.
And very much so.
And so when we're, you know, when you're tuning in to do a reading, it's, that's why I don't like to get any information from people. Don't tell me anything. Number one is my credibility, but the others you're going to buy. I'm going to be biased by the information.
Right.
So the less I know, the better. And it's tuning in, and that accuracy of this is what I'm feeling the situation is now. This is where I feel it's going if you're unconscious. But there are, now that you're conscious, there are many other variables that come into play. You know, and we can give all the metaphysical, you know, technical terms to it. But once you see something, it begins to change.
Right.
So if, and I always use this, you want to get to Walmart, you know, there's 100 ways to get to Walmart. Take a detour, you know, there could be an accident, there could be construction, there could be any number of things, you know, that all the ways to get there. Doesn't mean you're not getting to Walmart. It just means how long it's going to take to get you there and which route are you taking.
Right.
So a lot of times for people, they have their own true path. It's what I call your own true experience. So there's certain things that in their essence will happen to you. I'm not talking about events. I'm talking in essence. So in that essence will occur. But how those events play out, there's so many variables. So we have choices, and I'm absolutely firm on that with people. Now that you know this, or now that you have a heads up, or now that you've become aware of these possibilities, you choose.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what would you like to do? I've had lots of clients who, you know, come and get a reading, take down all their notes, and file them in a drawer. 6 months later, they take them out of the drawer, and they've... Oh, look at all the things that happened. I'm going to phone her again. And they use it in hindsight, kind of. Not so much as going forward, but looking back. And I think, really, that's another way to affirm that. It's like planting seeds mm-hmm. of intuition exists. Intuition, higher levels of consciousness, and so on, is truer. And wherever somebody is in their own evolution, you know, that has played a part for them. So I don't criticize that it's used in hindsight, because it's what somebody needs to do at that moment.
Right.
So well, nothing is written in stone.
Absolutely. And nothing. Well, you know, that's an interesting way to look at it, too, because nothing is written in stone perhaps yet. We're writing the future in real time right now. But you and I, Dr. Hunter, were talking about the Akashic Record before the program, and Dr. Stephen made mention of it as well. And if the Akashic Record is correct, and I think it's a very interesting notion in philosophy, the idea of there being one record of everything that's happened in the past, the present, everything that will happen in the future, not only native to humanity, but to every life form, every planet, every plane of existence, everywhere. There is the Akashic Record that has all of it written, you know, so to speak, metaphorically. Now, one of my favorite reasons to think that this is true for my own personal satisfaction is in some type of afterlife where we go into the next plane of existence, whatever that may be, where we maybe can look at the Akashic Record and point to some statistics and see, there, I told you that was what was real. Just to whoever's there with me. But so mostly I want it for, you know, rather petty reasons to be true, so that in some potential afterlife I can point to it as a I told you so moment. But I think there are probably more noble reasons to think of an Akashic Record. But if the Akashic Record is true, what does that mean about the fact that we are, you know, from our perspective, constantly shaping the future? So I guess what the Akashic Record would reveal is what the alternative realities would have been.
Bingo. That's exactly what I was thinking when you said it, Michael. To me, I guess here's where I have a little difficulty, and I think for some people, the Akashic Record lends to the idea there's a library. And we just go to that library, we'll pull out a book, and oh, there it is.
Hopefully in English.
Yeah, exactly.
Come on, make it easy for me.
In my view, an Akashic record is an imprint. And an imprint of, you know, you think of cause and effect, action, reaction, and these are imprinted, these imprints in the universe, that we can tap into those imprints of not just what has happened, but what is going to happen likely as a result. So the Akashic records would show those possibilities. It's no different than me being a reader. I tune in to not just what I see is most likely to happen, but I can see the other probabilities, which to me then, if I'm tapping into the Akashic records, the Akashic record is imprinting to me the other possibilities. That make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
So I think what we also have to, I know there's talk in the chat room about Akashic records being in the past. I'd like to throw in something here. Our past changes by how we view it.
This is true.
So even though we have a past, it's only what we're conscious of in our past, but it is layered with so much more information that we're not awake to. So if you go back and review your past, let's say you did a hypnosis regression, for instance, and it's, oh, you know, I didn't remember that. Oh, that was hidden in my psyche or layered in my consciousness and my unconscious mind. So again, our view of that. So the Akashic Records has all of that imprinted, but our view of that has changed. So we look at the future of the Akashic Record. The view of it has changed by what position we're in. I hope I explained that well enough.
That's all a matter of perspective.
Exactly. And where you are in your own consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, well, again, I want to reinforce here that we tend to look for reasons for everything. We
absolutely
look for, why did that bird fly in my window? That must, you take that really personal. Like, the cosmic is sending me some profound message. And I'm thinking, no, the bird was blinded by the sun and didn't see the glass.
Yeah.
That's all.
People, humans have a tendency to look for patterns. It's a part of being the human animal. Just like we were talking about, it was either last week or the week before, you know, biases, racism and inherent biases. We have to be conscious of our human instincts to find those patterns, just like we have to fight the human instinct to form biases, because it's a mental shortcut. It's an easy way to identify something. You know, a stereotype is an easy way to identify something in quick order without putting much thought into it. It's a evolutionary thing, just like what we're, you know, talking about here.
Well, and again, I want to reinforce another point to everybody, that what we think of as an intuition can be just being a good observer of human behavior.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where we think, oh, well, you know, well, I was psychic and I knew that would happen. No, you were conditioned and you were a good observer that was likely to happen.
Right.
There's nothing psychic about that.
Right.
Not too long ago, I had a client who, you know, the breakup, makeup with the boyfriend, and a lot of things came to light. She ended the relationship. It was about 2 days later, she popped in my head and said, I said, oh, she went back to him. And I asked myself, okay, and I do ask myself these questions. Was that a psychic impression that I just got? Or was that because I know in her psychology she's not done with trying to figure out dysfunction? You see?
Yeah.
And how many times people usually revisit dysfunction before they make a break? And lo and behold, she called me about 2 weeks later. And again, I went right into the reading, totally unbiased, and letting that out of my head. Everything I saw, you know, it was laid out on the table, all the symbols, and that intuition. I said, yeah, you're still doing a dance with him, hey? She goes, I knew you knew that. But I didn't want to tell her that Yeah, it's just mathematically statistical.
Right.
She'd go back.
Yeah, it doesn't take a psychic to learn certain things, you know.
No, but it was also based on a feeling,
right.
You know. And so, that's just knowing conditioned human behavior.
Well, let me put this to you. So there is a difference, and this, I guess, will be one of the last kind of things that I'll bring to the table on this topic before we move on to our cards. But is there a difference between like a gut feeling or a psychic impression? Because, you know, I get gut feelings about things. I have a feeling it's probably going to go this way, but I often think it's based, just like you said, based on probabilities, understanding the nature of things, understanding, you know, personal behavior. And, you know, growing up in a dysfunctional household, you get pretty good at trying to gauge the direction or try to predict what's going to happen so you can dodge out of the way, metaphorically speaking.
Well, we've talked about this before, I know, but just to reinforce, Michael, that each of us, as my late teacher Frank Appleyard would say in my early young years of hypnosis training, that autosensory perception. Now, we've come to understand the ventromedial prefrontal cortex of the brain that has I don't like in this case to use the word intuitive, but it has a perceptive ability to read energy in the environment. That's not being psychic. That's being perceptive. So you walk in a room, you get a feeling, you meet somebody, you get a feeling. That's just high-functioning perceptivity and how mentalists do it. Magicians have those abilities, you know,
right.
Being very perceptive. And, again, high sensitivity. Intuitive and psychic is when you have nothing physical to explain it with.
Right.
So
and then a lot of people who are just highly perceptive have passed themselves off as psychic, in a way that is very disingenuous and is very much geared towards making money. And they probably justify it as entertainment in their mind or bringing some closure or something like that. But
and to give some people a bit of a break here, they just don't know differently. So, I mean, the big craze right now is when you're a high-functioning empath, you know, I'm an empath, you know, this is an empath, and everybody's an empath. Like, I don't know why that's such a big deal. Everybody is empathetic,
well, you have to be
but empathic, because we all have a sensory perception. Some people are higher functioning than others in other ways.
But every human being has to have a level of empathy in order for us to have functioned as a species. We have to be able to coordinate very closely. And that is one redeeming quality about humanity, is that by definition of our very continued survival, most of us have to be cooperative with one another. Because that's another part of being the human animal. It's built right into our instincts, into our DNA. Cooperation. And a big part of that is empathy. Being able to read those cues, body language. Yeah. Read the situation. So, excellent point. Excellent way to put it.
You know, I just put in the chat room if anybody would like a card. Michael and I are going to pull inner oracle, self-discovery cards, and tarot cards.
Backspace. Sorry, delete my message.
But I'd just like to address something. The conversation going in the chat about, you know, how about the future changing because of now and so on. I'd like people to keep a thought that every time I realize something new about myself, I am now changed.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully I'm more and greater. I can review my past and look at my future differently based on who I am in this minute versus who I was 5 minutes ago. By every epiphany, by every realization, by every little bit of progress that you do in your own development, you are now influencing your future, but you're also affecting how you have lived your past. So I hope that helps.
Well
Something
said.
To think about.
Well said.
Okay, we
All
have
right.
Michael G. up first, Michael, so let's go.
All right, from one Michael to another, I have number 22... in our inner oracle deck, think for yourself. Better understanding one's own mind brings one closer to honesty and self-responsibility. Thinking for yourself prevents being swayed by the potentially unhealthy thinking of others, as well as outside popular beliefs, simply for popularity's sake. If you don't think for yourself, you sacrifice your identity for someone else's identity. This may be a time to exercise critical thinking in order to best determine and listen to your own truth. So, good card. I hope that resonates. And that really touched on a lot of things that we were talking about this evening and to what you were just alluding to.
Well, here's something else that, you know, in keeping kind of with the energy flow here, is the High Priestess. Now, think for yourself and the High Priestess have to have a partnership. So, Michael G., think that the more objective you are, the less biased you are, the less emotional you are, the less detached you are, the more intuitive you become. If we're attached to an outcome, we jade what we see. We're coloring it in a way that, you know, it may not be accurate. So the thinking for yourself is understanding how you process and expanding your intuition in a more unbiased way. And I think you're onto something. That's what this is telling me. So that's a really powerful kind of message to you, I think. A reminder, affirmation, etc. So I like that.
All right, good message. And we have Dr. Edward. And Dr. Edward, so glad to have you back with us. You were missed.
Yeah.
I know you weren't feeling too well, but you're recovering now, so very happy to hear that. So, all right. And let's see. I have number 33, preference over principle. Let's see.
Mm.
All right. A mark of knowledge and wisdom is knowing when and how to offer an opinion or voice a complaint. If it is a matter of preference, yield. If it is a matter of principle, policy, or law, stand firm. It's important to know when and where to pick your battles. Be selective regarding the areas in which you invest your energy.
Well, I pulled two cards here, Edward. One is the Nine of Spades and the other is the Hermit. Now, I'm going to go in a way that... I know you weren't well, but I feel like you could have been, I'm going to go way out on a limb here, you could have been misdiagnosed or they didn't diagnose it right away, and you know that there's something else. So it's kind of you're exploring that there's something else. So I'm going to, you know, preference over principle, sticking to your principle versus somebody's preference, and... it's like knowing what's good for you and what's going on for you. So I want to say it might be a good time to push the envelope a little bit and ask that something else be looked at just to be sure, because I think you might be onto something for yourself.
Hmm.
I don't feel it's really bad or negative, but something that would be helpful toward you and your well-being. That's what I think.
All right. And we have Ronnie next. Glad to have you with us again. And I have number 6, boundaries. Let's
see.
It's important for you to establish clear boundaries for yourself. Equally, it is necessary to be aware of others and to not overstep or encroach on their boundaries. This is a mark of a self-complete individual. Reassess and assertively protect your healthy boundaries while looking to see if you are overstepping elsewhere. Begin with asking yourself, who owns me?
Ronnie, I got the 6 of diamonds here. Boundaries, 6 of diamonds. Actually, don't laugh, everybody. I'm laughing. But the first thing I thought of was like a used car salesman. Like, you know, like trying well,
they can't all be liars.
It's not to oversell something. But in this case, it might also be where somebody's trying to oversell to you.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't have to just go one way, right? It's where somebody could be overselling. So knowing your boundaries in this case, about what your boundaries are, where they are, and... Because I do feel like there's some finances involved here too, so It's about spending, investing, or, you know, so I'm going to say follow your gut here, Ronnie, and just being careful not to be oversold on something. All right.
All right. So we have Jamil next. And I have number 16, continuity of life.
Continuity.
Let's see. Human consciousness transcends the physical body, allowing a new chapter of life to continue. Stability and peace is assured with continuity and the flow to day-to-day life. There is reason to hope for a favorable outcome in the face of adversity or a difficult situation. You are a living example of the continuity of life. Cherished values will continue to live and grow. Sometimes we must allow a current chapter to close so that a new chapter may begin. So, hope that resonates. Jamil, saw that you weren't feeling too well yourself there. I hope that this is a new chapter towards feeling better.
Well, I'm going to say I think the worst is come to pass or is passing, Jamil. The Five of Clubs says to me success in this case is assured. Understand how I'm interpreting these cards, too. They're in partnership. I'm not just pulling out the Five of Clubs and saying, oh, that's what this means. It has to be that alignment with what Michael's just pulled in the self-discovery card. So with the continuity of life, and again, overcoming some kind of, you know, challenge in your health and well-being at the moment, the Five of Clubs is saying to me, you're going to work through this and you're going to be fine. I do feel, though, it might be a learning for you, Jamil, to accept help, you know, and maybe knowing when to ask for help and being okay with that in that shared space. You might be somebody who's used to helping others more than them helping you, but don't be afraid to reach out and allow others to assist you with things also. That's just my, you know, footnote there.
All right. Next up, we have our resident card keeper, Wendy.
Yes.
And let's see, Wendy. Ah, it's a good one. Wild card number 7, Hope.
I like it.
Let's see. Wild card number 7. Hope lives deep within and inspires the human spirit to continue and expand. Hope, in and of itself, does not create life. Rather, hope desires life. Hope is the root of curiosity, interest, invention, and yearning for more. Even when all feels lost and futile, hope is resurrected by a change of beliefs and core values. Safeguard your hope, for it is the first and last failsafe of your existence. Do not promote false hope, nor encourage codependent hope.
Wendy, I pulled 2 cards here. One is the 7 of Spades and the other is the World. Now, it's kind of telling me a story. And the 7 of Spades in this case is where you feel like some things were taken away. You're actually getting more of something else you didn't expect. So it's kind of changing your perception of, you know, how your vision was for your life. In that way, and the world opens up in a new way, and that's where you get this world and opportunities. So I'm going to say that you've done a lot of changing, a lot of growing, and the things that you no longer need in your life have been, you know, falling away. It doesn't always feel good when we don't feel like things are the same or consistent, but it's being replaced with other energy, other lessons, other opportunities that we wouldn't otherwise have had if things didn't empty out, in other words. So there's every good reason here with hope and the world to say that it absolutely is opening up to you in a new way. You're seeing yourself different and also stepping into your future differently. So, and she just wrote there, she said, I like that, safeguard your hope. And that's true. It's your hope. So when you give away all your energy, there's nothing left for you. Build for yourself first, and then everyone else is like, you become that contagion to others, you know, and then that good example, if you will. So,
all
good
right,
things around
nice.
The corner.
I love to hear it. Always a good message. All right, and our final card of the evening is for Alex. Let's see. And I have number 44, Attitude and Disposition. Attitude and disposition. Enthusiasm and or an agreeable disposition, along with good manners, assures individual happiness that inevitably influences others. Drawing this card may indicate a time to review a change in attitude regarding someone or something in your life. This can be positive or negative. Be proactive and ask yourself, how hard can it be? A can-do attitude makes it happen.
So in support of that, Alex, I got the Six of Clubs. Now, I get a number of pictures that came to my mind with that, with attitude and disposition supported with the Six of Clubs. You know, it's like your life has been changing also, and other people might feel a little bit of discomfort with you because they feel like they could be losing you. Like, that's what I want to say. Like, you're in this time of growing, celebration, introspection, learning, and others don't know where they stand. So it's your attitude, your disposition can be a positive kind of influence on others without, number one, giving unsolicited advice or getting on a soapbox or anything like that. But it's like you're doing well, and what is that dynamic with others right now? So it's just asking to be sensitive to other people when they don't quite get it. That makes sense. I sure hope that makes sense to you, Alex, because that's what came to me with that.
That makes a lot of sense to me. I will interpret it to that myself, but
okay.
Good message. Good. Hope that resonated, Alex. All right, I think that about covers it for our inner oracle and tarot cards for this evening. And, yep, just double checking. I think we got everybody, so...
I hope so, because I'm glad you were keeping track there too, Michael, because I would have overlooked Alex. I didn't get that name in, so I'm really glad you caught that.
Ah, that's one of the many reasons I'm here. That's one of the many services that I provide, but...
We have a good teamwork going on.
Yeah, you got to have teamwork to make the dream work. At least that's what was always on the wall at work, but... So, any final thoughts on tonight's topic? And we covered a lot in terms of, you know, psychic potential and intuition in general, and specifically we, you know, covered some of the specifics to the ability to find missing persons in this kind of network of consciousness. So, any last thoughts on that before we wrap up tonight?
I would really like people to hopefully be encouraged by their own experiences. Don't be diminished by mine, because I don't like to do it, but be encouraged by your own and follow your own path. That's what I hope. And be really open-minded to your own growth and how you want to participate with the world, because you're the one who's in charge of that. You make those decisions. I make decisions for myself based on my own well-being and sanity, but you have to decide what's good for you. And I say kudos to you if you do things I don't, because I think that's great. And so we shouldn't compete with one another, compare with one another, as each of us has our own stuff that we bring to the table, and I think that's really cool. So be Absolutely. Good with your own stuff.
That's
what I got to say.
Well, that's a good thing to say, and I think it was very well put, very articulate.
Awesome.
That's and I don't think I can come even close, you know, to saying anything quite as profound. But
oh,
I will
I'm
say,
so good.
I will simply resign myself to self-deprecating humor, and I will say that it has been a fascinating discussion. I like digging into these kind of deeper questions, especially the ones that don't have definitive answers, and probing what is this human consciousness network that we have? What is the intuitive nature that some of us have as a strength more so than others? It's just fascinating, especially that. It's not something I bring to the table. So when I get to have a discussion with somebody like you who can bring that kind of that level of intuition to the table, all the more fascinating. A peek into somebody else's perspective. Thank you for that. And thank you to everyone joining us. So next week, we're going to have a fascinating topic that Dr. Hunter and I have not discussed yet, but it's going to be riveting. It's going to be absolutely riveting. You would be doing yourselves a disservice if you missed it. So
that's
I
right.
encourage you to join us next week. Until then, be safe, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.